There it goes.
Thank you. We're going to look today at models, this one and the next one, the same thing, so you don't need to be here both. There's a lot of good classes. But I want to show you some things that we've learned around the country for young adults and single adults. Some models that you could develop, and they each have different purposes. They each attract some similar or different type of people. We're going to look at that. But since I haven't met some of you, just let me tell you where I'm coming from. I'm Dennis Frank. I live in Missouri. Been there 7 years. And I came from a church in California. It was my last church. So for 21 years, I was in churches as a young adult and single adult pastor. Three of them were full-time. That's all I did. And I got to spend 50 hours a week developing young adult and single adult ministries. Single parent ministries, divorce care, young adult, single adult, widowed groups, all kind of things. For three of those churches full time. The other two, I had other responsibilities on staff, but I still was involved in young adult and single adult ministry. And that's been my passion since 78. 78 we started our first young adult group in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was just a kid of 26 years old, I think, something like that, 25 or 6. Good memories. But God just has given myself and my wife a passion to reach young adults and single again people. And I've been married over 30 years. So why would a married person stay in ministry this long? I don't know. I have all the answers. I tried to get out of it years ago because I was tired. In single adult ministry, you deal with death and divorce and anger and unforgiveness and separation and bitterness and children and single parenting and blended heavy, heavy issues. Sex and crime and drugs. And we had people from prison coming in San Jose, several ex-cons, many. And one of them died of AIDS. Certain long story. Anyway, you deal with a lot of issues. But that's ministry. That's people. And I tried to get out of it and God wouldn't let me years ago. Just wouldn't let me get out of single adult ministry. And God opened this great door after 21 years of pastoring young adults and single adults and developing leadership. Now I had a chance to go to the national office in Missouri. The Assemblies of God is headquartered there. And start the department. I was honored because we had nothing for young adults or single adults. Can you imagine that? 1,000 employees, I've told some of you. 1,000 employees. We had no department for young adults or single adults. What a... And we're talking about 45% of the adults in the nation are unmarried. And you can pick up some of the demographics on our table down there. So, and it's also on our site, under leaders. A lot of what I'm going to show, talk about is under leaders. So, that's a little bit about me. We have two kids. They're young adults now themselves. They're in their 20s. And we see them every week. They live in the same town right now. They're both married. And God's blessing them, doing well. We're proud of them. So that's a little bit about me. And as far as you, I used to be where you are. I used to be a volunteer leader. I used to be a paid staff leader like some of you. You used to have young adult classes and single adult classes. And you guys, people like you, taught me what I'm going to show you. And I want to show you things we've learned not only from you, but from other leaders across the country. Because some of you are just starting and you're wondering what model should we start or what should we continue and expand with. How many of you have a weekly group right now? Weekly, it meets. Some type of group. Okay, only half of you, not even. How about every 2 weeks? Okay. I want to show you 7 different ideas and you can combine them and you can start other things by purpose. We're going to design these by purpose. So, you start with some questions. Again, do you have a mission statement? What's your purpose? Who are you trying to reach? Young adults 18 to 30? Single adults 30 to 55? Divorce recovery, any age? Single parents, what's your purpose? Why are you trying to reach them? You know, there's a lot of wrong reasons to start ministries. Can you tell me some wrong reasons? What are some wrong reasons to start ministries? Well, how about because I think I need it? I just went through a divorce, and I think if I went through a divorce in the last 6 months, I'm not ready to start a ministry. How about, I'm hoping to find a husband or a father for my kids. So we're going to start a ministry. It's the wrong reason.
a platform just to exercise a gift that doesn't necessarily meet the needs of the...
If it doesn't meet the needs. Now, that's not necessarily an arrogant reason. It could be arrogant, or it could be a genuine, I want God to use me. So it could be,
it could
be good or bad.
But I've seen people just use the platform to exercise their gift.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There are wrong reasons to start a ministry. Well, the church, the Baptist church down the street has a great ministry, and we can't let them outdo us. You know, I mean, and some senior pastors... That's their attitude. I mean, they got something good going, we should too. I mean, you know, we want to really stay up with it here. So there are wrong reasons. What's your reason for starting? It should be because you see a need and you want to meet that need. And you're going to develop young adults or leaders, people around you to help you, single adults to help you. So you want to find out the demographics of your church. You need, if you don't have it in your database, your church database, a lot of you will, you can find out the ages, the marital status, divorced, separated, never married, young adult, married, etc. But if you don't, you can take a survey. And again, on our, we have a sample survey for you right under leaders on the site. Pick this up. Under leaders, you go down to awareness. There's 8 drop-down boxes. Go down to awareness, and you can print a survey to help you on a Sunday morning to find out your adult population in your church. All the adults take it, married and single. And he breaks it down by age, marital status, children, etc. You want to know who your target, who you're trying to reach. What are the demographics of your community? Your church is only one market. Your community is your second market. Okay? You got young adults and single adults in there. I'm going to use both because we have both type of leaders. Young adults and single adults out there in the community that don't go anywhere. They don't go to any church. Episcopal, Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, AG, nothing. Those are your market. You could do some creative things. I'm going to show you to reach them. And then you can also obtain these from the county courthouse if you don't want to, if you don't know. You can get them from the courthouse or you can go online at census.gov. And you can add up the numbers. You go to your state, census.gov, then go to your state, then go to your county. And you can add up, you can look under marital status, add up the numbers and find out what are the ages we have in our county. Okay? That's your second market. I wonder if some of you are in another class today. There's a third market. Remember it? Anybody remember the third market? Single adults in your church. Single adults in no church.
Other churches.
Other churches. Thank you, Rita. Other churches. Why, Dennis? Are you staying? Are you saying we should take people from other churches? No. I'm saying you should allow them to come to your ministry, but send them back to their church to worship at their church and give their offerings and tithes there to support their home church. But there's a lot of young adults and single adults in other churches who don't have any ministry at all. They don't have a group, a fellowship, a teaching, discussion, activities, retreats. They don't have it. And they're starving for fellowship with other young adults and single adults. And they've got talents to share. So, remember those three markets. First one is in your church. Second, no church. Third, other churches. And you send them back to their church. You tell them. Go to your church. We're not trying to steal you. I don't think that one's on this PowerPoint. I need to update that. So what resources do you have now? You're asking these questions. Where are you going to meet materials? What resources do we need to get? Who else is doing that we can learn from? Man, I hope you'll get emails here today. Don't leave without getting 5 or 10 emails from people in this class or in this conference. You can learn from each other. Get some emails and phone numbers. Okay? You could, oh, Dennis, we're Baptists. We're not going to look at the Assemblies of God. I mean, they have a different doctrine. We have much more in common than we have different. I was raised Baptist. I know the Baptist doctrine. I know. I was raised Baptist. We have much more in common with people in this room than we have that are uncommon. So learn from each other. People, young adults and single adults don't give a rip about denomination. They don't give a rip about it. So don't you either. Okay. Here we're going to go into the models. But before we do that, I got to show this one because some of you were not here last. You design your ministry by age groups or need groups. Young adults, college age. Does anybody here have this group, college age? You do? Okay. All right. How about this one, the 20s and 30s? Another young adult. You do? Okay. Good. And how many fall into this one, 30 or 35 plus? Lots of us. Okay. And then a single parents ministry is another whole separate ministry. And these people could go into one of these age groups. But this is a targeted ministry that meets once, twice, three times a month. Man, there's so much you can do there. Divorce care, widowed. Okay, different types of groups. Any comments or questions about this so far as we get into models now? This is just kind of introductory. Comments, questions?
We've got a bunch of that group worked in the first category. We have to meet three different times per week.
Which group? Broken by three. All of them, you mean? Or?
Well, it's basically got that close to that, what you've got on the board up there, and bringing that in three. Because, like I say, never going to turn nobody away. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, but you want to put them into somewhere that they're comfortable,
right,
and they fit.
You know, people like young children, and older children where they've not blew the tooth, the old saying.
Yeah.
It's the principle of having to study right there, so we've got the three, and it's working out really great.
It's good. Small churches can't do three groups, necessarily. Right. Eventually you could, but not right away. Okay, let's look at some models here. Some things I've seen around the country and some things we've done and some things that I think will help us understand that we can design our ministries different ways, and what might work for Joe may not work for Jeff or vice versa. So, these seven different models and then the combination of them at the bottom. I love this class because I love these the different models. All right, the outreach model is a model that you will find a little bit around the country and that you can use to reach visitors and mature and immature Christians. This will attract all types of people, single adults. Here's what it is. It's topical teaching on personal issues. Now, personal issues, let me show you. Personal issues are... Oh, I see. I'll go back to this one. I want to show you those issues because you weren't in my other classes. Personal issues are issues such as this. I don't know if you have this in your outline, so I want to show it to you. You may have this. I don't remember. I've got so many workshops. It's this kind right here. Here we go. Personal issues, life issues, things like this. These are not spiritual issues, these are personal issues. The outreach model uses personal issues. Singleness, friendships, money management, sexuality, identity, stress, changes, goals, loneliness, emotions, self-esteem, career, dating. Personal life issues. Does the Bible have anything to say about these? You bet it does. Are there good Christian books and teaching on these? You bet there are. You can get some of these. There are some of them right downstairs on the tables. The outreach model uses personal issues. It does not use these issues. Spiritual issues. See the difference? This is not the outreach model. Unbelievers aren't going to get much out of teaching on this stuff. They don't relate to it. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. What does this mean? I'm under the blood of Jesus. Unbelievers don't relate to that because their heart hasn't been made alive. 2 Corinthians says, chapter 4, their heart hasn't been made alive. I'm saying for the unbelievers, and Christians too want teaching on this, topical teaching on personal issues attracts all types of people. But the unbelievers aren't going to come and stay in a Bible study. But they will come and stay in this. Because this is topical teaching along with, and here's some more issues, relating to my spouse, risking, managing my anger, integrity. See? Unbelievers will come and relate to that. Where's my... There it is. There it is. This outreach model has topical teaching and discussion, informal seating. This room would not be good for the way we're set up for top outreach. I hate it. Because you're looking at the back of somebody's head. In fact, I came in last night and turned the chairs at an angle. to get a little bit of informality so you could see other people's faces. But seeing the heads, this is not conducive to getting acquainted. This is not good. Tables are better. Outreach uses tables, extended fellowship time, lots of fellowship time, light, short praise and worship. We're not here to duplicate the worship service in the outreach model. This is not a worship service. You're going to get that on Sunday morning anyway. Refreshments are helpful. Many people involved, not just one guy up front, but a lot of people. Short times of prayer, not a long prayer meeting. Oh, God bless the missionaries and help us. That's not the outreach model. That's a prayer meeting. Attracts different types of Christians, and immature and mature, and visitors. Functions well in a neutral, non-threatening setting. Could be weekly or monthly. Now, you tell me the difference between this one and this next model, the discipleship model. Bible study oriented, Bible books and spiritual topics. Discussion, small. Praise and worship, yes. Heavy, maybe even extended time for. Prayer, yes. More prayer. Group interaction, shorter fellowship time because they're not coming as much for fellowship and getting acquainted here as in the other model. Attracts strong and mature Christians. Does not attract many visitors or unbelievers. Refreshments are helpful and provided, but not as necessary. Could meet here. How is this different than the outreach? What do you see that's different? Tell me.
Bible study.
It's Bible study. It's what? More mature people who want to grow more mature. Somebody over here.
Yeah, focus more on the mature Christian.
Right. Anything else?
Focus on growing as a Christian.
That's right. Growing as a Christian. Now, does the outreach model mean that you're not going to grow as a Christian? No. The topics are different. They're personal life issues. And you're going to have Christians in here. You want Christians in the outreach model. They're going to come, and I'm an unbeliever, but I'm going to come and I'm going to rub shoulders with Jeff and Chip and get acquainted with these guys. They're Christians. They're going to influence me. That's good. You want that. But eventually, the Christians like Jeff and Chip who want to grow are going to say, you know, and this happened to me. They're going to say, this is good. We've had this for a year now. We've got a lot of people coming. But, you know, we want something deeper. We want some Bible study. And if I was the teacher or the pastor, I'd say, you know what, Jeff and Chip? That's a great comment. And we're looking to start one. I'm looking for a teacher. And we want to help the Christians to grow even more than this.
And I think at some time God wants every Christian
would
grow.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yes, he does. But I want to show you that this one attracts the visitors and unbelievers and immature, weak, carnal believers, if I can use those words. But this one, the Bible study, the discipleship, that does not attract the unbelievers or keep them, or even the carnal believers, unless they are looking and God's working with them and they're convicting. God's convicting them and they know they need to grow. You see the difference there? Two different things. Now, we used to run the outreach, because you're going to say, when should we do this? What days of the week? Well, what will work for you? You could do this on a Friday night. You could do it on a Sunday morning. We did it on a Sunday morning between 9 and 10:30, which is a little early for young adults, by the way. Even some single adults don't want to get up at 9. But if it's meeting needs and they're having fun and it's good discussion and teaching, they'll come. The single adults more easily than the young adults at 9 o'clock on Sunday. We used to run this on Sunday from 9 to 10:30 in Omaha, Nebraska for 4 years. And Billings, Montana for 4 years. And the people would come from all around the city, all different denominations, because again, only 20% have anything targeting single adults or young adults. They'll come. And they had topical teaching, 20, 25 minutes, discussion, 15, 20 minutes, announcements, one or two songs, and we bust the kids to First Assembly for Sunday school, and the parents love that because they want to get rid of their kids for an hour and a half. You know, they want to talk with other adults. They want to have friends. So I'm saying we ran this on Sunday, but we did this one on a Tuesday night.
Where did you run that on Sunday?
Sunday was... Okay, I'm going to show you some rooms. But Sunday we had it in a restaurant, a side room. A room started in this size and then bigger, bigger, bigger in other restaurants. And we finally wound up in the Knights of Columbus Hall. Mm-hmm. I mean, think outside the box here, if there isn't even a box today. Think outside. You got to be creative. You got to go where the people are. Unbelievers aren't going to walk into my church, First Assembly of God, to a Bible study on Sunday morning and feel comfortable. Do your friends, your young adult and single adult friends, are you going to take them into your church on a Sunday morning class and they're going to stay there and feel comfortable and relate if they're unsaved, if they don't know Jesus? No. No, not most of them are going to do that. But they'll go to a neutral, non-threatening setting.
In fact, a lot of Baptists will go to an AG.
Huh? A lot of Baptists won't. I know. They're scared because we swing from chandeliers. I mean, woohoo! I was raised Baptist, so I know what you're saying. But I'm saying you got to go where the people are, and you got to design your ministry. Now, this is only two of the five, of the seven. But we did this on a Tuesday for those that were more mature. And a lot of them from Sunday would come. And then a few others would come too who didn't come Sunday to the outreach class. Okay? Now, let me go a little further. There's another model. The discussion model. This is, praise and worship is rare and brief. There's not really, this is a whole hour of discussion. Teaching, no. There's no teaching on this one. This is discussion. Discussion for a whole hour. Small groups, 6, 7, 8 people in a group. Visitors are attracted to this. Prayer short and brief. Attracts immature and mature Christians. And you can do it in a church or a neutral setting. Let me describe this to you. On our website, it's called Talk It Over. We did this for 4 years. It's called Talk It Over under Leaders. And there's about 15 sample discussion sheets. You come into a room like this, we'd have four tables set up. And we would announce tonight's topic. Every leader, leaders are already chosen. Let's say that we've got four discussion leaders here, two men, two women. And every leader already has the discussion sheet, a little half a sheet, three scriptures up there, and seven questions. Same scriptures and questions. Tonight's topic is friendship, developing friends. Single adults want friends. Young adults want friends. So we've got four leaders, we've got four tables. We're going to number off. And unless you're brand new, if Cindy's brand new and she came with somebody, we're not going to split them up. But if you came alone, then you number off 1 to 4 because we have four tables, and then you go to your table. Now, of course, if you have 70 people, then you number off. You have to have 7 tables. But so you number off, you get to your table, and the leader says, "Great, it's good to have you tonight. We're going to have an hour of discussion. Tonight's topic is friendship. I'm going to read the scriptures." And then I'm going to read the first question. So he reads the scriptures and reads the first question. Define what is a good friend to you. Okay? And you wait for someone to talk. If no one talks, then you rephrase it. Okay, we're going to talk about friendship tonight. And we're going to talk, what is a good friend? What do you think a good friend is? Chip jumps in. Cindy makes a comment. And you're off in the conversation. The guys are listening to what the girls say. The girls are listening to what the guys say. The guys are listening to the guys. Girls listen to girls. You want to make sure you have both male and female at every table. You don't want a whole group of 7 girls over here complaining about guys, because they're going to do it. Or 7 guys complaining about women, because they're going to do it. So as a leader, you have to look around the room, and when you number them off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they go to their tables, make sure you have enough, you have some males and females at both tables. Okay? So, you've got 7 questions. You're going through the questions. I'm learning. Wow, yeah, I think that too. Rita says something. Oh, that was good. I never thought of that. Mm. And I'm listening. See, it's not a teaching. This is discussion. Hey, what do you guys do? You go home to empty apartments. Or you have a roommate that you don't like. Or you go home to a dog or a cat. If you're single. Or a child. You need adult discussion. We want it. So give them a chance to talk. This is all discussion. Whole hour of it. Then, at the end of the discussion, 60 minutes, you have 5 minutes to close in prayer. Let's say we're going from 7:30 to 8:30, or 8:45. 8:45, we're going to close in prayer. You, as the leader, give the instruction. We're sitting around a table. Okay, we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to do this by what we call the squeeze hand method. That's how we did it. Just 5 minutes, real short. So there's 7 of us around the table. I'm going to start in prayer. 30 seconds is all. And when I'm done, I'm going to squeeze Cindy's hand. If Cindy wants to pray, she can pray. If she doesn't, she can squeeze Joe's hand. I saw you sleeping there, Joe. If Cindy wants to pray, she squeezes Joe's hand when you're done. If you don't want to pray, you just squeeze Jeff's hand. So we go around the circle, and I close in prayer, and that's it. Then we get up, and we have our coffee and cookies and stuff. That's the discussion model. Now, how is that different than the Bible study discipleship model? Tell me.
little more involvement from the people there, and maybe more is expected of them, so far as like communicating.
More involvement, yes. But you don't have to get involved. You can sit and listen. I'm brand new tonight. I don't know if I'm going to say anything. I'll just listen. It's okay. It's okay. How else is it different?
You don't have to do a lot of Bible study ahead of time.
No preparation. You can drop in.
It's all opinionated, too.
It's opinions, which could be dangerous, right, Greg? However, when I come in as an unbeliever, and tonight's topic is sex, and I say something like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with premarital sex. If you really love each other and you hope to get married, well, guess what? The Christians are going to jump to my defense, jump to the truth, to the Bible view, and say, well, I appreciate your opinion, Dennis, but you know, I'm trying to save myself, and here's why, because there are dangers, and a lot of that you get into the biblical view. So you still have Christians in every group. In fact, the majority are Christians. So you're right. It can be dangerous, and it's opinions, but that's okay. You learn from people.
Well, I didn't really think of the danger aspect. It's just okay. You need to sit around
and hear,
kind of build off of other people's comments and just share.
Yeah, it is. Because in your teaching classes, you only get 10 or 15 minutes to discuss, if that, on a regular basis.
And sometimes, even if you're a Christian, it's good not to respond right away, like, I disagree with you. Just, if a non-Christian, weak Christian says, I believe it's
premarital
sex, yeah. Say why, and uh-huh. What your experience is. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just jump in.
No, and I'm not, and I don't mean it in a way where you're going to put that person down. No, you don't want to do that. But you want to show the biblical view. Okay, let's go further. Here's the fourth model. Educational model. Write your thoughts down on the paper. That's what's important, what you think. Educational. This is a workshop seminar format. This is like this weekend. This is a conference seminar format. It's held for a period of time. Look, there's not a lot of praise and worship. You might have praise and worship in the main session for a little bit. But the teaching is concentrated for a period of time. Half a day, Friday night, Thursday night, to a day and a half. Friday night, Saturday, right here. Or a 3 to 8 week series every Tuesday night, where you bring in a speaker or a group or a video. Here's a video. You show it a video 6 times like that. 6 sessions on sexuality or some topic. Okay? Personal and spiritual topics. Discussion, yes. Prayer, short and brief. This is not a prayer meeting. Visitors are attracted to this. It attracts immature and mature Christians. See, a lot of churches use this because they don't have the vision or the finances or the leaders to do a regular young adult ministry, weekly ministry, or single adult. So they just do this for a 4-week series or 6-week series. It's an educational workshop thing is what it is. And they do it maybe twice a year, 3 times a year maybe. Or they get together with some other little churches, get together and do it. And they do a seminar. Okay? How is that different than the other models?
Probably not as much interaction.
Yeah, because you're only there a half a day or 4 weeks in a row on a Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. It's fact-based. I mean, if you're doing Bible study or a topic, it's not as much discussion like she's saying.
Yeah? Not as much of the discussion model, that's for sure. Well, you can do discussion here. Like, let's say it's a Saturday seminar. You can teach for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and have half an hour discussion. You can do that, but then you're done that day until the next week. You only have 4 weeks of it. Okay? Some churches do this, and I think they're smart to do something. They're starting something. It's not as good as a weekly thing, but they're doing something. Okay, why don't you guys stand up? Come on. You're getting tired. See that ceiling up there? Touch it. Come on. Reach up there, come on. Oh man, some of you guys can do it without even. Look at Chip. Trent and Chip, yeah. Look at these guys. Oh man. Now bend over and don't bend your knees. See if you can touch the floor. Oh, ouch. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now here's another one I like to do. Turn to face that wall. Get behind somebody. and give them a little back rub squeeze. Come on, a little body ministry. Squeeze their shoulders. Oh, you're ticklish? Sorry. Squeeze their shoulders. Squeeze it. Squeeze it hard. Go on, give them a hard squeeze. Rub them. Yeah. Yeah. You get ticklish, huh? If you get ticklish. Now turn around so the other guy gets it. Turn around. Oh, yeah. Yes. Real hard. Real hard. Go ahead. Real hard. Yeah, yeah. Real hard. I'll give you an hour to cut that out. What?
That's a thing.
It is. It's body ministry. It's body ministry, yeah. Doesn't that feel good? Oh, yeah. Got to wake you guys up. This is a hard time. Is it getting hot in here?
No.
Okay. All right. It's just me, I guess. Take your shirt off. Man. Okay, let's keep going. Recreational social model. This is pretty self-explanatory. Many types of... Whoops. Sorry. Many types of events around the city and county. It attracts unbelievers and Christians, because Christians want activities too. Attracts visitors. There's no teaching, no prayer except to thank God for the food. No praise and worship event really, or discussion except just getting acquainted. There's no structured discussion. Could be all types of locations. Could be once a week, once a month. You consider the cost and the target age of people, because remember, a 55-year-old may not be able to physically do what a 25-year-old can do. So, this is just activities. Some churches only do activities like this. They don't have a class, a group, a service, a small group for young adults or single adults. That's all they have. They don't have a leader or a vision. They're just trying to do something. They're trying to do something, but that's not enough. But that's a model. It's a social.
Would retreats fit into that?
It could. Retreats normally take a lot more planning and work than a social activity. But yes, having an annual retreat. An annual retreat, if you don't have a weekly group, you're not going to draw as many people. If you have a weekly group, you have a nucleus to enthuse and motivate and, you know, to work with. But a retreat's good to have, that's for sure. Here's another model, small group. And I think there's at least two types. There's the Bible study type, this one, and then there's this one, the prayer and share type. Let's look at the Bible study type. The praise and worship in the Bible study small group may be extended, maybe even what I call Pentecostal, where people are getting dramatic and the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 7 or 12 and 13 are talked about. Prayer time is maybe longer. It's discussion about the teaching in small groups. Time allowed for praise reports. Here's what God's doing in my life and requests. I need prayer for a new job. And teaching topics, biblical spiritual issues from books or personal issues too. Remember the difference? Personal versus life issues versus biblical. Attracts Christians, immature, amateur. Retains Christians, does not attract unbelievers. Location could be home, church, frequency weekly or monthly. This is a small group of the discipleship class. Now, the discipleship class, you could have 100 people in that thing, Bible study of discipleship. This is small. 10, 12, you want to keep it small. And then you add another group if you get too many coming. You start another one. Okay? Now, here's the second type. Second type is the prayer and share. Teaching is brief, informal, on personal topics. This one was more on spiritual topics. This is on personal topics. Praise and worship is short and light, couple courses, extended time for discussion, personal issues, praise reports, prayer requests, prayer time extended, light, many participants. Let's see if I can say this correctly. As an Assemblies of God guy, Pentecostal guy, I used to tell our leaders in this group, the prayer and share group, if you have a prayer language where I want you to pray under your breath, I don't want you to scare off the people who don't understand what praying in tongues is, prayer language, one of the nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 7, 13, 14. I don't want you to pray out loud. We would tell them that. Why? Because an unbeliever doesn't necessarily understand. What was it? You hear, oh, someone breaks out in tongues and praises God. They don't understand that. And it scares them. And so in this group, we would tell the leaders not to pray out loud in tongues. Pray in your language. Pray in English. And don't break out in some loud prophecy. That's not the purpose of this group. That's this one. The Bible study. That's for Christians. Or that's this one where it is Bible study and you're anticipating Christians to come who want to grow. You're not attracting unbelievers. But people who are open to learning and growing. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Now, I got to say this. That even in today's society, you have some young adults that are more open to the realism and the realistic spiritual reality of what I call the Pentecostal and charismatic circles. And you have to decide that yourself, if you can allow that in your groups. That's up to you. When I did it years ago, we didn't allow that at that point for this type of group right there, friends here. So you see the difference between this and the other one, the Bible study? Again, this is more personal topics. It's not as intense. Unbelievers and visitors are more comfortable in this. Here's the last one. Contemporary service. I'm seeing more of this across the country. Informal or formal seating. Praise and worship with a band, partial or full band. Maybe a long time for praise and worship. 30 minutes or more. Prayer time. Usually it's short, but there's several involved. Teaching and preaching, both spiritual growth and personal topics. Video, drama, PowerPoint, visuals, high-tech tools. Many people involved. It's a contemporary service. Kind of like what we're doing down here in the gym. Kind of like that. Discussion group, unless the seating doesn't allow for it, attracts immature, amateur Christians, and attracts young adult unbelievers more easily than single adult unbelievers. Why? Because this is loud and moves fast. And some 55-year-old single adults, it's too loud. And some of them, I can't keep up with everything going on. But the young adults love it. See? Now, this is a contemporary service, and it's an authentic, fun, yet intentional spiritual atmosphere. Location could be church or other, and to use different terms. In fact, in almost all of these, I would encourage you to use these kind of terms, not these. You see? Now, let's talk about the models. Can you think of how those fit you? What are you doing? Do you know what you're doing and why you're doing it? Are you trying to attract unbelievers? I could call some pastors. We're not attracting. Well, we're doing a Bible study on Sunday morning. Of course you're not attracting them, unbelievers. What about moving out to where they are? In fact, I want to show you off the church grounds benefits. Or changing your style, your format. Comments, questions about it. Can you see how it relates? Okay. I got plenty more. I just want to take time if you have something to say. Yes.
That last one, the contemporary service?
Yeah.
That tends to be more the mega church, bigger churches.
You know, I used to think so, but I'm seeing even smaller churches doing it, and they are, it's an outreach, and they are bringing in 50 or 100 or more, and they're only a small church. A lot of youth groups do this. A small church of 200, 300, and they have a youth pastor, and they got 150 youth, and three-fourths of them are from no church or other churches, because they love this.
There are a number of prominent Christian authors and pastors who are pretty much against this kind of model, aren't they?
Well,
John MacArthur, people like that.
There are some, sure. There are going to be some against any model. But you have to pray and know what God wants you to do. You have to seek advice. You have to involve team people, leaders. And you need to consider and discuss and pray about what direction. And then you go with what you think God wants you to do.
How do you work with the fact that you've grown from other churches?
Okay.
Because you know in church society they have the competition factor. How do you counteract that when that's not your sole purpose in doing what you're doing?
Okay. Young adults and single adults are going to come to check something out whether they're in your church or not. If their church is not meeting a need for them, they're going to check out. They're going to hear about it. Word of mouth. It's going to spread. And they're going to check it out. And if they're in the, and I would say right up front, every month, sometimes every 2 weeks, if you're from another church, but you don't have a ministry for young adults or single adults, we welcome you. But if you're from another church, we want you to go back to your home church. Just say it right up front. Say it out loud. Takes you 15 seconds. We want you to go back to your home church. Support your church. We're not trying to get you out of your church. Then if the pastor hears that they're attending your group, you can say to the pastor, or the adult will say to the pastor, you know, I heard him say, go back to my home church. I'm not trying to leave the church, pastor. So you want to make it publicly clear that you're not trying to steal sheep. You announce it. Now, if you don't have a home church, if you're not going to a church regularly, we welcome you, but we're not trying to take you away from your church. Yeah, just be right up front with it. And talk to your leaders about it and let them give their input. And let them say what you're saying. Let them replicate what you're saying. Alright? Now, let's look at on or off the church grounds. This over in 21 years, 12 years, we met off the church grounds. Because there are some benefits. First of all, you can plan a total ministry, but develop it in stages. Wait till you have leadership. Wait till you have resources. The books, the vision, the room, the finances, the materials. These kind of things. Of course, you don't just go off, well, we're going to start a young adult ministry. I don't know who's going to teach it yet. But I don't know who's going to do it. You know, you've got to have some plan here. Plan and pray. And it might take you 3 months. That's okay. These people come and want quality. What do they have in the world? They have quality. Look at the movie theaters we go to. Look at the rentals. Look at the restaurants. Look at the malls. We have quality around us. You better offer quality. So take your time to plan. Offer quality. Okay, let's go. Here we go. If you meet on the church grounds, here are some benefits of meeting on the church grounds. Possibly more people from your church are going to be exposed. Yeah, we have a young adult, a single adult ministry. I think they meet down there on Wednesday nights, down in room 45. They're going to hear about it. It's going to be in the program. They're going to see it. Less storage problems. You have cupboards. You can put your name tags and coffee supplies. You can put it right there. Less setup and cleanup, transporting of tables. When we met off the church grounds in Omaha, Nebraska, we met in the Leisure Lanes bowling alley. We had a room for 25 hours a week, but we drew people from 20 churches. But we had to set up the tables and chairs. We had to put them away. I mean, it was work. You plan on 75 people, tables and chairs. It was work. We had a guy come with a couple of team every day to set it up once a week. We couldn't store our materials. We had to take them there. They wouldn't leave them. Wouldn't let us put them there. More access if you're in the church building to your tables and chairs. Less time finding a meeting room. In Billings, Montana, I looked at 57 buildings. It took me 7 weeks to find the right building, the right location, the right image, the right time, the right cost. It took me a long time, but it was worth it because we drew 27 church backgrounds. I'm telling you, it was worth it. Church of 350, sponsoring a ministry of 150 people. And 120 of them weren't even from our church. I tell you, we had Lutherans, Episcopalians, Baptists, Nazarene, AG, etc. Okay, here's some more benefits of meeting on the church ground. On the church ground. Less risk of losing the meeting room. You know, once you get the room, you're there until another department grows bigger than you and can outbid you or something for the room. No cost. They're not going to charge you $50 for a room like this on a Friday or Sunday. Fewer requests to announce other churches' events. When you have 20 different church backgrounds coming and you're meeting off the church grounds, and I announce we got a drama group coming next week. Oh, Dennis! Oh, First Lutheran has a great speaker next week. Can you announce that one? We've got a video series starting next week over here at First Baptist. Can you announce? I can't announce 30, and I don't want you to announce 30 minutes of announcements. That's not the purpose. And I finally had to say, I said, First Assembly's paying my salary. They're the ones sponsoring the group. I'm going to have to make a decision. I told the leadership. We talked about it with leadership. If you want to announce your activities from your church, the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Nazarene, you can tell your friends verbally. You can even pass out a flyer to your friends. But you cannot pass out a flyer to all the tables in the room, and you can't get up front and announce it. We don't have time for that, and that's not the purpose. You just have to make a decision. If you meet in your church, you won't get those problems. See what I mean? It happens. Okay, more exposure to the ministry to your church. Now that's if you meet on the church grounds. If you meet off the church grounds, you first of all want to look for this type of a room. I'll show you the benefits. Area for fellowship. You're expecting 30 people, then you better be able to seat 60. Because you want room to mingle and walk around and talk and fellowship and have your drinks and cookies and stuff. Cost of the room. How are you going to pay for it? You can take an offering. That's what we did. We paid $55 a week for the Knights of Columbus Hall. We paid $35 a week for the 4B's restaurant. We had a side room twice as big. People came, though, and they'll give in the offering. They'll give. If it's meeting a need, they'll put a buck in. No, you'll get it. Possible days the room's not available. Flexible seating. Are the seats built in, or can you move them? Can you set up tables and chairs? You got to think of all this. Location of the business. Is it in the industrial area of the city? What's the image of the business? You know? Storage. Storing the materials. Child care needs. Can the people bring their kids? And when you take them to your church, do you have something going for them? Do you have a child care? Do you have classes? What day of the week? You got to think of all that. Those are some of the rooms, some of the things you got to think about when you're going off. Now, here's some types of rooms you can look at. Look for. We used to meet in a restaurant room, a motel room. Not the sleeping room, not with beds.
Oh, the singles group is going to meet down here in the suite where they have 10 beds. Yeah.
No. The meeting rooms in the motel. I got to change that. Motel meeting room. Lobby. We even met in the lobby. Yeah, had a big atrium one time. It was nice. Community rooms, apartment complex rooms, bowling alley meeting room, bank rooms. Milwaukee, we met in the bank room for 2 years. Had a nice room, twice this size. And we only paid like $15 a week. They were closed on Sunday. They let us go down. It had a separate entrance. They gave us a key. It just went down to that room. That's all. And it was nice. Man, that was a young adult ministry. Service club room, other. These are the types of rooms. Here's some benefits of meeting off the church grounds. More community exposure. Oh yeah, there's a single adult ministry. They meet down the street there on Grand Avenue. I saw them go in there on every Friday night. I see them going in there. I don't know who sponsors it, but I know it's a single adult group. See the community here. Attracts more unbelievers because it's a neutral setting. Attracts more believers who don't have a ministry. And attracts more children of single parents. Okay? Easier to build a citywide image. The smaller the city, the easier it is to build. The bigger the city, the harder it is to build a citywide image. And then here's a few more. Let's take some comments. Off church ground benefits, easier to build relationships with the pastors, less denominational hang-ups, more flexibility with schedule, any size church could sponsor, and easier for several churches to sponsor together. Some of the benefits of meeting off the church ground. What page are we on? How many pages do we have? So we're almost done. 12? Okay. So, questions, comments about this? We've got 15 minutes left here. Is it making sense? Do you see what I mean about the benefits? See, you got to think of, if you want to reach unbelievers and unchurched people, don't necessarily expect them to come to your church. A few will, but the majority may not. So you got to go to them. And you can do it. But now you have to maybe convince your pastor, I know. But churches are getting creative today, and they're doing this, and I love it. I love it.
So if you're just starting a young adult, 18, 20, what would be the best way to start it? We're a young military town, and the church is 6 years old, and we're really trying to get it up and running. We didn't see the need for the young Marines, and even those, because we have a small college too, but what model would you suggest?
I guess I would personally lean towards the outreach model. The first one. Topical teaching, personal life issues. It's Christian. I mean, you pray, you read a verse of Scripture, you might sing a Christian chorus, but it's not a Bible study. You want to attract believers and unbelievers, and you want to probably attract people of all denominational backgrounds. I would not hold it in a church building. necessarily. I would hold it in a neutral, non-threatening setting. And you get more numbers coming, and from there you start these other models. You'll get more numbers at the outreach than you will at the discipleship or the small group or the educational. Because the educational is not every week. It's two, three times a year. So, but again, lean on the people, other guys and gals who are interested. Get their opinion. Show them these models. Talk about them. Get their input. Good question.
We did something one Sunday where we intentionally met off campus, off church, mm-hmm. during our Sunday school hour. Some people met in houses, but our group met at an apartment complex, mm-hmm. at one of the places around here. And it was a really neat thing because we had people from the apartments just walk over to the clubhouse. And you did something really neat there. Mm-hmm. So to me, there's something there that I haven't quite put my arms around. I don't know how people would feel if we just went to an apartment complex one Sunday, invited everybody, let them kind of get to know us, and then try to bring them back to the church. You know, just do it one Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Do one event on a Sunday.
You know, do it quarterly or something like that.
You wouldn't be building enough relationship in one
every... Could you do it then for a month? I mean, are you talking really you have to do like a half a year to a year?
I was talking about a regular basis for a year. Twice a month for a year. Four times a month. Where you build relationships and they know you and they feel comfortable coming to your church because they know you.
Yeah.
I think that's our dilemma. I mean, we have a singles ministry here in our church, and we have a pretty good
group.
Yeah, there's a city full of single adults that...
And they're not coming to your church.
Right.
And many aren't going anywhere.
Right. And so that's our frustration in how to reach...
So we've got a lot of single parents in our Sunday school class that have children, and it's nice to meet here because then they can drop their children off.
Right.
So to have it in an apartment complex would add some complexities there that would be difficult.
Well, why not start a second group? You don't have to abandon your first group or stop it. You can start a second outreach group with discussion and teaching.
On a Saturday?
Well, and that's up to you. That's up to you and whoever's going to lead it. When do you have time? Or do you have time? When could someone else lead it? And do a second model. And you're building relationships there. See, your model now may be a discipleship model. Bible study, I don't know what kind it is, but it's held in the church, it sounds like. Okay, but if you want to reach more unbelievers and unchurched people, you're going to have to go out there somewhere where they are and start something.
And that's why apartment complex clubhouses just seem to be a perfect fix. And you put flyers up on the mailboxes, they could just walk over there. But I don't know how you could establish that for like a year-long thing.
I'm not saying you have to commit to a year, but I'm saying commit to longer than a couple months. Someone that would do it 4 or 5 months. You don't even have to say to the whole people, come, I'm going to stay here 4 months. You could start it and these build relationships. And then after 3 months, in 2-3 months, invite them to a class or a service at the church because you have a relationship. I'll come if I know you. But if I don't know you, I'm hesitant to come. I've only been coming a couple of weeks to the apartment complex thing, and I don't know if I'm ready for church yet. You know? But if I get to know you and I see you're okay, you're a good guy, and you care about me, then I'll probably come. Invitation.
Plus, that's a lot of stuff. You can also partner with other churches. I know our singles group is a lot of leadership comes from different churches as well. Yeah. So it's not just a burden for one church to kind of be like, yeah, we have to plan all this and everything. You know, the leaders kind of came from different churches, kind of had a heart for that. So,
yeah.
We kind of did that one time on the Sunday morning. We decided one Sunday morning we were going to go to, ended up going to a restaurant for our Bible study that morning. There were a couple problems that we ran into, one of which being people that did come to our church for the first time found out they're not here. And then they felt really left out. I'm exactly right where you're at with doing stuff off-site. But you have got to make sure that the pastor and the staff of your congregation understand what you're trying to do. Because the question will come up, are they trying to start their own church? Are they trying to do something?
Good.
You got to explain your vision to your pastor, and so he can
we're almost starting to run out of classrooms,
right.
So they're kind of encouraging this actually to try to do some off-campus things. So.
That's good. So you think outside the church walls. Rita.
What we've done is we started out as an area-wide ministry, and we go to a different church. We have a large meeting every first Friday of the month, and we have different sponsors, sponsored churches in the community, and we go to different churches. And that's worked out really well because a lot of times the singles of that particular church maybe haven't been to one of our meetings before, but they'll come because it's at their church and see that we're not about taking them from their church, and then they'll follow, and that's how it's grown. So I think just getting all the pastors, like you said, your pastor, making sure they know. At the beginning, we took the time to let our leadership contact a lot of pastors in the area and say, we're working together. We're not trying to steal sheep. We're trying to offer more. And so just letting all the pastors know. And then we have a lot of support from churches.
Good,
so,
good.
I don't think we've been to the same church twice yet.
No, we've in 8 months, we've not been to the same church, and we won't be. And I've got it booked for the rest of the year.
That's rare to find one that meets in different churches like that.
We're within two counties.
Yeah,
is where we're meeting, but we're having people from probably eight counties come because we're getting a lot of publicity, and you know, like you said, the word of mouth is out there. And what we found is some of the smaller churches who do have small singles groups are just bringing their whole group to us for the big events, and then we're doing a lot of things together. So,
good.
Kind of outreach and discipleship too.
This is to get you thinking. I don't have all the answers, but I've seen these work, and we've tried a lot of these, and you have to adapt them to where you are. And you and the people that are working with you in the ministry need to decide what you want to start first, second, third. You can't do them all in 1 year, but over a period of several years, you could start several models. And you wait to have leadership and vision and finances, etc. So before you leave, I want to give something away here. I've got several of these left, and this is our series that we did 4 years ago on singleness and sexuality. And it was updated in the last year or two with this one on DVD. And so we've got several of these left. I want to give them away. Six sessions in front of a live audience, young adults and single adults. And we're teaching and discussing things like temptation, premarital sex, excessive hugging, sexual philosophies, masturbation, sexuality and identity, managing your sex drive, all kind of things like that that I think churches should be teaching young adults and single adults. And then the discussion questions are on here too. Going to give this away. There are six sessions. They're anywhere from 30 minutes to 40 minutes each, and then you discuss. I want to give this away in this room to the newest young adult. Well, be careful. I can say young adult leader, but I'll be honest. The quality is not what I want. This one's much better digital, so young adults are a little harder on quality than single adults are. but if you as a young adult leader would tell them that this was an old version, the quality is not really good. Sometimes the audio is a little bad, or the picture is not always the clearest. But we'll give it to the newest leader here in the room. Anybody 3 months or less? Young adult or single adult leader? 3 months or less in the ministry?
Four.
You?
4 months.
Where from, Kathy?
Charleston, Virginia.
You got it. Six sessions. Good to have you here. And then we have one of these left. This is the PowerPoints that you can print that go along with that series. They're actual PowerPoints. And this is just a CD. There's no video on here. And that... We've got one or two of those left, and then this one is the updated series and video, two DVDs, six sessions, same stuff, only with PowerPoints and discussion questions, and it's cleaner. So we've got a few of those left down there at the table. Look for this banner down there. By the way, we have two banners left here, and they're $99 each. If you like them, it's mostly for single adult, not young adult necessarily, because young adults don't identify themselves by singleness. But different ethnic groups, different ages, etc., single parent, logo. If you like it, we'd love to let you take it home, and we can bill you for it later. I don't need to take the money today. And then lastly, we've got one or two of these left down there. These are 13-minute videos, really good for young adults, really good. and there's 12 of them on our site, 12 different topics by Rob Bell, and it's a life issue. It's good quality video, and there's discussion questions you would show it and then discuss it with your young adults or single adults. There's a couple of those left, and I've got a book, my first book, and there's three or four of these left on there on our table, Reaching Single Adults, published by Baker 12 weeks ago. And I think a couple of you have already had it and read it. That's good to hear. I think Kevin has it. And we have some curriculum down there for you, some stuff on integrity, some stuff on managing Christians in the workplace. This one's on One for the Lord, different issues that single adults and young adults face, friendships, sex, all kind of things, self-esteem. Cheap stuff, inexpensive, I should say. Go down, take a look at it. Pick up our website. And if you like the little newsletters, did you get a newsletter? Yes, The Source. We will mail those to you. Pick up a card, a blue card right back here from her, and fill it out. It's only $3 a year. We'll mail it to your house for $3 a year. And we can bill you the $3 and just leave it on the table with her. Thanks for being here. Hope it was helpful some way. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Stella. Would you take this down to the table? And this one? Thank you. You're welcome, Cindy. You have what?
We divided our sales ministry
into ages, okay.
And they're a little bit broad. It goes to 18 to 35 and 40 and up.
I mean, is it a small church or a big church?
We've got about two services, and each service runs about 600. I mean, we've got a pretty decent size. It's about
okay. 1,200 adults, you mean? 1,200 adults, wow. Okay.
And our ministry, each one has probably...
You can look at those.
Is this the Rob Bell thing?
No, they took it down to the table. Okay. There's only a couple left.
Has probably about... are you still recording?
Well, thank you. Let me turn that off.